Disclaimer: the views and opinions expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show. Mancast, I'm Zach Birchie. Joining me this week is Baby Dong.
Hello, everyone.
And we're back from Comic-Con.
Yes.
And the summer season has begun. And it's been an insanely busy month.
It has. I'm still kind of reeling from Anime Expo, like, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, that, you know what, that whole, like, AX ending and then we had less than a week before Comic-Con started... it was about a week, that just, I was so delighted to see that next year Comic-Con is when it normally is, which is no closer to the end of July.
Right.
But this year it was smack in the middle, so we literally finished AX, went home, had a week to do preview guide, and then went straight to Comic-Con.
I'm not even done with the work I have to do for AX yet. Like, I still have, like, interviews to transcribe and all this stuff. Like, that's not even done.
Yeah,
it's like, whoosh, more stuff.
Yeah, I know. And it's hard not to just forget. It's hard not to forget all the shit I have left over from Anime Expo. Because Comic-Con just came, preview guide came, and then the Otakon's the two. Oh, God, fuck it. Fuck. But, so I guess we'll start talking about Comic-Con a little bit. It was Comic-Con, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah, it sure was lots of Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Lots of people dressed up in, you know, costumes and large booths with booth things.
And there was a whole lot of, like, millions of dollars being spent to promote movies that everyone at Comic-Con is guaranteed to watch.
Right.
So,
like, you don't need to tell me to watch Iron Man 3. I'll obviously watch Iron Man 3.
Well, what really shook me was, like, they spent so much fucking money promoting The Hobbit there. Like, it was hot. The dealers, like, two of the biggest booths, Warner and Weta, were both just... wall-to-wall, just, like, giant, super expensive, really elaborate Hobbit
displays. Literally giant.
They had all the trolls, they had the giant Gandalf and the Gollum, and then Warner Brothers had this elaborate, like, setup with all these 3D posters. It's just, like, everyone in this building right now is going to see The Hobbit right when it opens.
Yeah. Well, I do have to say that those 3D posters were kind of cool, because I walked by and I was like, what? So I did stop and stare, but it's not like I was previously not going to go see The Hobbit.
Well, that's my point. Like, that's totally my point, because, like, of course I'm going to fucking see The Hobbit, and all that stuff was really neat to see. But I guess maybe, like, I think about this stuff from too much of, like, a marketing perspective, where I'm looking at it and going, like, why are you spending this money here? Like, what are you doing here? I don't understand. Like, what extra money do you expect to wring out of this by promoting this shit so heavily here? It just doesn't make any sense. The other thing is, like, I didn't go to any panels, any, not one, except, like, to cover stuff for work, and that was it.
Yeah, and so several people have asked me now, like, hey, did you go to the Iron Man 3 panel? Like, no, I did not wait in line for 21 hours to go see a panel.
Which is about how long you would have had to wait.
Right.
Like, I was told, like, because my big thing is I really wanted to see the Django Unchained panel.
Uh-huh.
Django Unchained was right before The Hobbit, which was right before Pacific Rim, which was right before Iron Man 3.
Right.
If I didn't get in line 10 hours ahead, I would not have gotten in. Like, there were so many people in that line. It was like 15,000 people were in that line, I was told. But the room was full, and there were 15,000 people in line. So it's fucking nuts. It's crazy, and it's nuts. And I have to say, like, if you've never been to Comic-Con, it's worth going. But if you've been a few times and you feel like you've seen it, don't go.
Right.
Don't go. Like, you're going to see 10 minutes of a movie you were going to watch anyway, a little early. And you have to wait forever to see it.
Right. Whereas you could just go online like 10 minutes later and see the same thing.
Yeah. And they post, and the only thing I was like, okay, I wish I was in the room for that. I am curious about Pacific Rim, which is Guillermo del Toro's kaiju right. movie. And they showed stuff in there that they're literally not showing any footage of that until December. That was the only time anyone's going to ever see that footage. And he was saying, like, this is special. I made it special for you. That's the kind of thing where, like, I'm very curious about that movie. I love Guillermo del Toro. Kind of wish I was in there for that. I still would not have waited as long as I would have had to wait.
Too long. Comic-Con is one of those things where, it's a four-day thing, but you spend, like, 80% of it waiting. What is the point?
And the dealer's room. I wish I wouldn't naturally just call it that, but the exhibition floor, it's, you can't move. You cannot move in there. It is suffocating.
And although, so I think I'm the only person in the entire world that watches Falling Skies, which is this like alien show on TNT, right? And the entire weekend. So they set up this little like harnessing facility. Which is probably nobody knows what I'm talking about because nobody watches the show. But like this is a fairly recent thing in the series. Like it just happened like 2-3 episodes ago. But there was no line for it. Like even on like Saturday afternoon, there's no line for it. So I was I don't know if they put it in a weird place in the booth or if literally just nobody watches Falling Skies. But that was like one thing that I did in which, you know, I was able to just pop in a line and get a picture taken with this like alien larva about to like crawl onto my spine. So that was cool.
Isn't that – that's on, like, TNT, isn't it?
It is on TNT, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think genre fans don't seem to be tuning in for that one.
I mean, I don't know. It's a fun show. I'm surprised more people at Comic-Con don't watch a show like Falling Skies.
Well, the line to get into the Walking Dead photo op booth was hours and hours long.
Which is – because I went to that booth last year. They had a slightly different photo setup, but the line wasn't that bad last year.
No, it was – we waited. I was there with like that line for you, with you. It was like half an hour.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. And it's not like Walking Dead has gotten better. If anything, Walking Dead has gotten worse.
It's gotten – everyone I know that watches that show is like kind of over it.
Yeah. It's not a good show. Oh, my goodness. I wish all the characters would die. Except the main character. He's a badass. But, okay, so here's something that I don't fully understand about the Comic-Con advertising is that if you go outside of the convention center, pretty much just on every single hotel, every single building, you have these giant, 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 like, screens and billboards. And just, like, all they have for most signs is just the name of something that's about to come out.
Yeah.
I don't understand because these are things that I've never heard before. I don't know if it's a TV show. I don't know if it's a movie. Like, why not put that inside, you know, instead of like, I mean, I don't need someone telling me that I should go see The Dark Knight. I'm going to go see The Dark Knight. What I don't know is like, you know, they had all these signs up for shit I've never heard of, like Revolution. What the hell is Revolution? Do you know what that is?
No, I don't know what that is. And frankly, and there was a
million giant, like the entire Hilton Bayside, like top to bottom, like giant Vegas sized, like mega wall poster for. I don't fucking know what it is.
Yeah, there was one that I didn't know what it was until way after, and apparently, like, one of the buildings, I think it was, it's kind of funny, though, because when you think back at, like, oh, look at how much money they spent promoting this at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
It was a huge failure. Like, Skyline was a big.
Oh, my God.
Like, they spent so much money promoting that shit at Comic-Con, and it just fucking fell on its face.
Well, it should. It's a terrible fucking movie.
Yeah, it's terrible. But, like, one of the buildings had a huge thing that had a logo on it, and it didn't really say what it was for, and then it turns out it's for that new DC Superheroes fighting game that's coming out.
Oh.
There was nothing about the advertisement that even remotely told me what it was.
I don't know that these, I mean, I'm sure this is somebody's job, like, you know, this is somebody, a fucking marketing expert does this, but like as a consumer, like there is some poster for something that I don't even remember the name of, and then there was some kind of like fairyland, like Ferris wheel. Did you I don't even know what the fuck it was.
Yeah, no, I saw what you're talking about, and frankly, like they sort of they expand the convention out. Like the marketing companies expand everything out into the Gas Lamp District, which for people who aren't familiar, it's the sort of bar hop scene that's right across the street from the convention center, and they expand it way out there. So like the History Channel has a giant barbecue set up, and some network, I can't remember, whoever it is that's airing that new Ridley Scott, Tony Scott, the miniseries thing, Coma, literally had like a 30,000 square foot like thing where you could go in and experience what it's like to watch the pilot episode of Coma, I guess. But like
there was this giant Tokidoki like blow up thing, but like unless you know what company that is, it also doesn't tell you any information.
No, and they trotted out like the Grimm thing again, the show Grimm. They trotted that out again, and yeah, it's just you know, and that was my other big complaint this year was like, man, there's nothing new, and like that's just me being you know whiny, but like there was nothing new. Like there was like I remember last year you and I were like super stoked and totally waited like 8 hours to see the Game of Thrones panel.
Right, which ended up being a total disappointment.
Which was a total disappointment, but it was neat to see it, and I can say I was there the one time.
Yeah.
But there was nothing this year where I was like, oh shit, I have to be in the room for that.
Right.
Because there's nothing new. Like, nothing new that seems accessible. It's all, you know, I don't really, I'm going to see The Hobbit, but I don't, I'm not like, whoa, can't fucking wait. Like, I'm not like super excited about it. I don't give
like,
a
I already fucking read the book. I know what happened.
I don't give two fucks about Iron Man 3. Like, I'm sure I will see it, but right now I don't give a single fuck about Iron Man 3.
Not even like half a fuck?
Not even half. No, not a single fuck. Not even one tenth of a fuck do I give about Iron Man 3. but like, yeah, there just wasn't anything. And like, I wasn't, there's no way in hell I was going to wait that long because they put the Walking Dead panel right before Game of Thrones. So it's like, well, okay, A, don't really want to go in there anyway because all the people they had on the Game of Thrones panel were like junior varsity people. Like, it was all the B-lister types. It wasn't any of the main major characters, except for, like, Daenerys, who's, like, barely in season two anyway. Right. But, like, it was like, oh, George R.R. Martin is going to be... It's like, yeah, George R.R. Martin shows up to a lot of things. So, like, it's not really that big a deal that he's there. So it's just, like, it's just stuff I'm not going to wait for and nothing new. Because you and I, like, a couple of years ago, we waited a long time. Actually, we didn't wait that long, but we got in to see the panel for Community.
Right.
This was before the third season of Community premiered. So the show was kind of at its peak, and that was a really good time. Like, those are fond memories. Like, I had a very good time there.
Right. We have fond memories from last year and the year before just because we, you know, saw the panels we wanted to see. Even last year, though, like, there wasn't really anything there. Like, I remember last year, like, on Saturday, like, I literally just walked into Hall H because there was nothing there.
Yeah.
And, like, I ended up sitting down, you know, I sat through, like, a half-empty panel for Snow White and the Huntsman. And and that Peter Dinklage is in some other movie where, like, it's a bunch of LARPers.
Which still hasn't come out, but yeah.
Still hasn't come out yet. And I was at the stupid panel, and, like, nobody was there. Nobody cared. Like, that was the easiest I've ever gone into Hall H. Like, I walked up to the door and I walked in, and it was kind of mind-blowing.
That happened to me. I actually walked into the panel for Drive Angry 3D.
Oh, shit.
Nicolas Cage was in there, and that was pretty awesome. There was fucking no one
movie.
In there.
Drive Angry is a phenomenal movie.
It's
a great, Nicolas Cage.
It has a great first act and a great third act, and the second act is not good. But anyway, it's like, and I wasn't going to sit there and wait for another Game of Thrones panel. There was no TV show. They did a Breaking Bad panel, which I totally would have waited for had they not just been showing Sunday's episode.
Yeah.
Which took up 47 minutes of an only hour-long panel.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we've got, Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul are going to be in here. And they're going to answer questions for 7 minutes? Maybe 8 minutes before they're just going to run the episode? Like... I don't understand the appeal of that. In fact, anytime a panel says screening and Q&A and it's only an hour, I don't go.
And the Q&A is barely worth sitting through because most of the time is just, you know, some fan being like, I love you, can I get your picture? You know, or some bullshit.
Yeah, well, the Hall H stuff is the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the worst because it seems like it's the same, like, 15 people over and over and over and over and over again. whatever, man. Comic-Con. I always say, you know, like, last year, I feel like last year Game of Thrones was the only thing that we did.
Yeah.
And And the rest of it was just work.
I don't even try anymore. Like, I didn't even look at the schedule this year. Honestly. Like, it's just, wow. It's exhausting. You can't.
Yeah, it is exhausting. That's true. But anyway, other than that, you know, it was Comic-Con. We had some fun anyway. You know, outside of the convention itself, it's always nice to see all of our friends and go drink a lot and party a little bit. And
you and I watched the Lawrence Welk show on PBS.
Yeah, you got it. And California's Gold.
And California's Gold.
So that was good. I think from this point forward, unless there's like something new, there's like a new show that I really want to see the actors and creators or whatever. I'm not interested in next year's Venture Brothers panel. I'm not interested in next year's Game of Thrones panel. I'm not interested in the same shit that's been on the air for 3 or 4 years. New would be great. New would be awesome.
Right, right.
but anyway, moving on. Anime.
Anime. Anime.
Anime. Summer season has
what
begun.
What is anime?
Well, it's not
anime
kids stuff.
Is.
It's not kids stuff. I'll tell you that.
Sorry, there are probably listeners who don't even remember that splash screen.
I'm positive. Although us like old timers make fun of that so often, still. So summer season has started, but before we get into that, have you watched anything else, or are you just doing the streaming stuff?
I'm doing pretty much only doing the streaming stuff, because Crunchyroll is licensing so much stuff that I can't even catch a fucking break, not even the summer.
Yeah, they are. But before we get to that, then, I watched, Panty and Stocking with Garter Belt. DVDs came in.
It's fun, whatever.
I still don't really think that show is funny. And it's not like, it's not funny because I'm offended. It's just not funny. It's a bunch of dick and poop jokes, and that's kind of it. I wish the humor had something of an actual edge to it.
Well, do you remember when Super Milk Chan came out and everyone was like, this is so funny, but it was just because it was a little girl saying, like, dick and poop jokes?
Yeah, pretty much,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was very similar to that, you know, in which people are like, Shin-chan, you know? People are just like, oh my god, look at these cute little cartoons saying shit fuck ass.
Yeah, and, you know, chiefly I watched it again, and I watched it, you know, when it came out a couple of years ago or whatever, when it was streaming during the season, and I was like, okay, whatever. And I got a bunch of shit for it because that was the show everyone decided that they were going to jealously defend.
Right.
But watching the dub, still not a fan. Doesn't make it funnier. In fact, the whole thing kind of reeks of try hard. I hate to say that because I don't want to make it sound like I just can't handle enthusiasm for something, but comedy doesn't work if you're just trying too goddamn hard. And they're trying so hard on this thing where it's like, look at how offensive we are. We're crazy voice actors and we're gonna totally blow your minds with how totally edgy and offensive we can be. And it just, it's not funny, man. It doesn't make me laugh. Like,
yeah. I mean, I don't think it's funny to us, but there is such a huge market for, like, oh, man, I totally want to hear my favorite voice actor being hilarious and wacky, you know?
Yeah, well, and that's fine. And that's totally fine. And I'm happy for them that, like, convention audiences seem to totally eat it up. And apparently it's selling really well for them. And that's great. But, like, I watched this and I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah, you really love saying fuck into a microphone. Like, that doesn't mean that it's funny, but I get that you really love doing it. Which kind of, like, I guess that's a shitty thing to say, but I just, whatever. I did not laugh. I skipped through a couple episodes. I watched a few from the middle. I watched a couple from the end. Whatever. I am very happy that show has an audience and that people are buying it. And that the voice actors who participated in it are really happy with the work that they did and really enjoyed working on that show. But I guess it's just, it's not for me, man. It's not funny. Like, it's the jokes aren't funny. It's just kind of lame. It's like, Yeah, you can sit here and say, hey, penis fart all day long, and I'll laugh for, like, a few seconds.
Painting a Stocking is one of those shows in which I like the characters more than I like the experience of watching it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the same way with Hetalia. Like, I love the idea of Hetalia, and I love, like, the little snippets. I love the characters. But when I sit down and, like, watch an entire volume of Hetalia, like, I'm like, eh.
That, yeah.
But I like the characters. I like Panty and I like Stocking because I think they're cute and they're, like, you know, and I think there's a lot to like about them. I just don't necessarily want to watch them for an extended period of time.
It's the idea. I like the idea of that show more than I like the show itself.
Right.
Like, what it is, the execution is not great. But I do like the idea of that, and if somebody did something like that that actually was funny, I'd be happy. It's just, it's not funny. Like, it's just kind of lame. But anyway, enough of my grumpy being a shithead about Panty and Stocking. So summer season started, and I barely noticed.
That's because we barely had any time to breathe whatsoever. Yeah. I'm so glad I'm not going to Otakon. Holy shit.
Yeah, me too. I miss Otakon. I miss my East Coast friends. I miss that convention a lot. I haven't been to it in a long time, but I wish they would move it out of July.
Yeah.
But anyway, we've bitched about that enough. So summer season started, and the only thing that is sticking out in my mind is humanity in decline. Humanity has declined.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's neat. It's very different. I like that. Like, I'm cool. It's very absurd, kind of a thing.
Okay. I very much liked parts of the first episode, just as much as I didn't like parts of the first episode. And since then, the subsequent episodes have kind of been a little boring.
I did watch the second episode, and I did find it kind of dull. Yeah.
Like, the characters are, like, super passive-aggressive and kind of, like, meh, like, they just drone. That show, like, they just bitch about everything. Like, it's not just consumerism, materialism, bureaucracy, which is already a lot, but, like, even in the first episode, there was that one scene in which she was saying how old women are, like, younger women who have lost their delicacy points or whatever. And I'm like, you've already complained about enough. Let's not also complain about old people. Like,
well, you and I are not the people to be throwing stones about complaining too much.
I agree, but like that. But here's the thing. I enjoy complaining about things with you. I don't want to watch a show about us complaining about things.
People listen to this podcast.
But no, like, that show.
I think I like the show more than you do. Because I didn't really have a problem with that. I didn't really have a problem with that. I thought it was actually legitimately funny. And I really enjoyed the absurdity angle. And just how fucking weird it gets. Like, I like that. I think they're trying to do something a little different. I will admit that I was a little bored in the second episode, but I haven't watched the third one yet. And I'll probably keep watching it. But yeah, it sounds like I liked it a lot more than you did.
Yeah, I mean, I'll keep watching it. And I certainly like parts of it. Like, there's something incredibly hilarious about these fairies with their giant fucking grins being like, oh man, like, humans are totally gonna die off. And like, you know, and with the bread, fucking suicide bread. Like, these things, I like them. They're funny. They're hilarious. But, like, this show is so fucking heavy-handed that I, like, shut the fuck up. Wow. Like, I don't need to be preached at, like, for the entire 22-minute runtime is all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm not sure I agree with you on any of that. I didn't think it was all that preachy at all.
Oh, my God. It was, like, telling you how, like, oh, how terrible processed foods were and how awful, like, red tape bureaucracy is. And, oh, it's so terrible that chickens aren't more free range. Like, come on. Oh, look at all these chemicals in my shampoo.
I disagree. I don't feel like that's the tone.
Man.
I can see how you could derive that from it, but I feel like that's not really the tone of the show. But I could be completely wrong. I don't know. The only other thing that stood out to me was Sword Art Online, which has a really stupid, stupid premise.
I don't understand.
It's neat, but it's a neat idea.
It's neat, and I've been seeing on Twitter that it's already better than last season's Excel World because there's actually consequences for when your avatar dies. Cool. But what are the chances? You've got this fucking evil mastermind who has spent years, his entire life, you know, learning the craft, engineering, and programming and whatnot just to build a computer game to fuck with nerds. Really? Okay.
I mean, okay, but, like, that... I am okay with that. Just like as like a premise. This is based on a light novel, so
yeah.
You know, just as a fiction-y premise, and it's only going to be I think 12 or 13.
Right.
Fine. Sure. Fine. Like I don't need it to make perfect sense. I don't need it to seem realistic. You know, it's just that it's a neat idea where it's like I'm a brilliant game designer and I just fucked all of you. Like
yeah.
I'm okay with like that's okay. Sure. Fine. It's just that having read some spoilers from the novel, it doesn't stay that interesting. And some of the contrivances that they had to come up with in order to pull this thing off, right. Even more ridiculous than just what was in the first episode. So, like, knowing now a little bit about, like, how exactly it is this guy pulled it off, it's like, okay, but that would fucking, like, never in a billion years. Like, this is so implausible that...
Right.
It takes me out of it. It's like, wait, it's, no, come on. What? No, come on. Like, yeah. The minute anyone strapped that fucking thing on their head and were told, literally, like, up front, your family can't come in and shut it off, you would never put the thing on your head. You would just never do it.
Yeah, but although at that point they don't know that that's going to happen.
Yeah, but no, but there was something else where it was there's a thing where he said something before the big reveal of the guy coming out and melting in from the ceiling and saying, like, oh, you guys are all fucked. I just fucked you all. Ha, 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 ha.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Suggested that they knew.
I don't think they did.
It was or something like you eating in the real world doesn't affect – eating in the game world doesn't affect your body and you can't take the helmet off while you're in-game. Like, that's the first big, giant red flag, where you literally cannot move
yeah,
your body.
Because he says something about how the only way to log out of the game is through the main console, which is a little stupid. Like, there's no, like, emergency eject button. Because the guy even said that he read through the manual, and you saw that there wasn't an emergency shutoff switch.
Yeah, which is immediately like, I'm not putting this thing on my head.
Yeah.
Like, I am not, forget it, I'm not doing it. But, whatever, like, I don't know, The show, I found myself engaged by it. And, you know, it's kind of like one of those shows where it's like a sci-fi show or drama or something where you're like, okay, well, this is silly, but I'm intrigued. Like, I want to see where they're going with the story.
Oh, yeah.
And mostly, like, I'm curious how it ends. I want to know what the ending is. I don't really know. Like, I'm probably just not even going to watch it. I'll wait until the very, very end and then see how it wraps up and then maybe watch through the whole thing.
Well,
mostly I'm just curious what happens in the last episode. That's kind of what I want to know.
But, I mean, isn't it already kind of implied that what's going to happen is that people just fight their way through the system and then emerge victorious on the other end if they emerge victorious?
Well, like, sure, but it could go a different way, though. Like, you know, it said at the beginning of the first episode, like, in the first month or whatever, 2,000 people dead. Which is, okay.
Yeah.
Again, massively implausible that they would not just shut this thing down completely. The minute they found, like, two people dead.
Right.
But, yeah.
You know what? It doesn't even make sense. Because they were saying, like, even if you try to unplug it, the battery inside will send these microwaves to kill your brain. But, like, is there really no other way to disengage this? Like, were there no other engineers who worked at this factory for the helmets? Surely.
And it feels
there's
like,
a way to unscrew the battery. It
feels like nitpicking. It feels like, oh, but what about this? And this isn't plausible. But the situation is so ludicrously implausible.
Right.
All I can do is sit there and think, what? Like the first big thing about it was, oh, we're launching a massively multiplayer online RPG. We've limited sales to 10,000.
Right.
Okay. MMOs cost. They are literally the most expensive type of game to develop. They cost hundreds of millions of dollars. A company deciding to make an MMO is basically saying, we're going to bet everything on this.
Yeah.
If an MMO developer said, we're limiting sales to 10,000 right out of the gate, that's the first thing where this is fake or wrong or bad or something. Because you're literally saying, we're going to lose hundreds of millions of dollars on day one with this thing.
Not to mention, the same developer also made those stupid fucking helmets. And those helmets, I don't care what they price the helmets at. That helmet, those helmets is also a lot of R&D, a lot of resources.
Yeah.
Even if you price these helmets at like $1,000, you're still losing money.
Yeah, it is the show with the dumbest and like least plausible premise that I am curious to see. Like, I'm just curious where that story goes. I want to know what happens.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'll read about it in the stream.
Yes, indeed you will.
But those are kind of the highlights. There really wasn't much else that got me interested or anything.
Honestly, I'm most excited about two of the shows that I really like continuing. Like, that's my highlight, is the fact that Polar Bear Cafe is still continuing and that Space Brothers is still continuing.
Yeah.
That to me is way more exciting than all the new shows.
Those do seem
including that Suicide Bread show.
Those do seem to be the favorites.
I mean, talk about, like, comedy, you know, we were talking earlier about Penny and Stocking. Like, the comedy in Polar Bear Cafe is amazing. It's a funny show. Such a dry, dry show. Like, it's, you know, people are doing themselves a disfavor if they're, you know, yeah, it's about polar bear. It's cute, but it's also like really dark and funny.
Yeah, that's a major flaw in my life that I am not watching Polar Bear Cafe. But
you would love Polar Bear Cafe. Seriously, you would like shit your pants with glee at Polar Bear Cafe because the humor is Zach Birchie humor, and also the animals are cute. So like, you know, deep down inside, you'd be like, oh man, these animals are fucking cute.
I don't think it's a deep down inside thing. I think
that's true.
I wear that on my sleeve.
You do. So it's ludicrous that you're not watching Polar Bear Cafe.
All right. Okay, fine. You've convinced me. I'll watch it.
it gets better, especially the two. Like, it takes a couple episodes to like kind of like settle into its humor, but then it gets fucking hilarious. Polar Bear is a fantastic character.
Awesome. Yeah, so then there was a bunch of garbage.
Yeah,
sure was. In the summer season.
I heard a yelp from my roommate's room. So I am cat sitting for a friend.
Yeah.
And the cat has finally left its hiding spot underneath my bed, and I assume it's been slinking around the apartment, much to my roommate's dismay. But
the cat's terrorizing.
It is.
Your roommate? That's funny. So there was a bunch of trash, but nothing like truly offensive.
No, this season, I'll tell you what this season is. The season of like every first episode has just been a dump of like wacky premise exposition. Mm-hmm. That's what the first episode of every show has been, I feel like. Like, there's a lot of series, you know, that sometimes kind of let things kind of go into it. No. So far, every series has just been like, boom, premise, eat it. Like, every single one. Like, Campione is... did you watch that? It's
pretty stupid. I watched it.
Oh, my God.
I just didn't... There was nothing about that that grabbed my attention.
I don't even like that it's named Campione. Because, like, that to me... just reminds me of like Soccer Chance. So like I was like, oh, it's a soccer show, but it's not. It's about this kid who has a tablet who then becomes the king of gods because of bullshit. I don't know.
I barely remembered that. Like, you just now reminded me that it existed. It's having absolutely no impact. I'm hearing nobody talk about it. It is a nothing show. Then there was the like horrible like which little sister do
I pay? Yeah.
Which ultimately like wasn't Like, there was nothing about that that was anything different from your usual stupid harem show.
Yeah.
It's just, like, there's an incest, like, factor to it. Which I guess had the potential for being, like, holy shit, they're digging new ground in terms of, you know, how low they'll sink. But yeah. It just was, it was a generic harem show. Like,
right.
And it stole its entire plot device, mostly from Love Hina.
Right, right.
It's like, I don't remember this girl that I said I was gonna fall in love with, and it turns out she might be my sister. What? And then it just doesn't fucking do anything. It's just whatever. Like, the shock value isn't even there, so whatevs. I didn't even bother with the Oda Nobuna thing. The latest in the long line of what if Warring States Generals were anime girls thing.
You know what they haven't done yet? And I'm thinking we should pitch this, Zach, because of the big money. What if the Warring Generals were robot girls and then they had to have a battle royale, a robot battle royale? Zach, this is going to make money. Let's pitch it. Let's sell it. Done.
Okay. We'll do
done.
That. Let's abuse our contacts in Japan.
I mean, like, look, guys, here's something that would, like, shit money into the palm of your hand. You need this Warring States thing, and everyone will be a super cute android, and they will have – it'll be, like, real steel, except with the Warring States generals.
I feel like robot girls, like, as a thing, it's just not around anymore.
Yeah, they, you know what? But they can bring it back.
They could.
They would call it Warring Robots.
That's a great name. that's a fantastic name, Bamboo. Thank you for that.
Thanks. No, yeah. But you know what? It's a good idea. So.
Anyway, so summer season, kind of meh, but whatever.
Kind of meh. Did you see Utakoi?
Yeah, I did. Meh, it's all right.
It's all right. It's a little weird. Tell you why. So,
please do.
So for people who haven't watched it, basically, it takes the 100 poems, and you know, like 43 of them or something are love poems, and basically, the series goes through each of the poems and kind of explains the story behind it, which I think is really cool because like I have a book of those poems like on my desk, and I don't fucking understand them at all. Like, they're so vague, and like you have to be a scholar, I think, to really understand those poems. So I appreciate that there's a show that makes it very easy to understand them. However, because these were all compiled in like the 1200s or whatever, like, I guess the notion of romance back then is so different from the notion of romance now that sometimes I watch it and it's a little uncomfortable. Like, it's I don't think it has translated through time and space as well as people think it has.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Like, I wouldn't expect, hey, we based this TV show on the Canterbury Tales to be super progressive about anything. Like, you know, I kind of expected, you know, old school sort of crappy medieval version, like whatever their notions of romance were back then.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I would expect.
Well, like, even in the first episode, like, there's that one playboy who's hitting on this, like, chick who like really wants to woo her. So in the middle of the night, he like climbs over the fence into her house, and then she's terrified and then just starts praying because she thinks she's gonna get raped, and he's like, ha ha ha, I'm not gonna rape you. And she's like, oh okay. And then I'm like, why not? Don't you think my breasts are big enough? And I'm like, what, hold on, this is weird. Like, oh, that's so romantic. He's not gonna rape you.
It's one of those things where if that weren't based on centuries old poems,
right,
it would bother me, but because it is based on centuries old poetry, then it's like, okay, well, okay.
Like, I in that sense, I'm like, oh, okay, like, this is cool because, you know, it was the 1200s and they obviously, you know, obviously. But then, like, as a viewer who's watching it now, I'm like, yeah, but do I really want to watch that? Like, this is, like, I'm not offended by it as I am just, like, kind of weirded out by it. You know, I'm watching it, I'm like, what? Do I really want to watch this?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to watch that show, but I liked what I saw of it for what it was. I like the fact that it was trying to give a little bit of humanity to
These
otherwise otherwise super vague. They're in those poems are kind of in the little bit of a Shinto-y tradition.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, like I said, just from an educational standpoint, like it's great. Like I have a annotated version of the book, and even then, like you because like these poems are like 5 lines long, and then you read it, you're like, what? Like, what the fuck? You know, it's not like, you know, they make no sense. It's just like, oh, the leaves fell silently, and then the mountains bloomed. You're like, what the fuck does that mean? You know, and it's about like fucking some general signing his life away in a treaty that took 100 years, and you're just like, wait, it does? Like, I didn't know that. You know, there's some bullshit like that. But so I'm glad, like, that the show is kind of explaining it, because I'm not going to sit down and figure it out, you know?
Yeah, it's generally inoffensive. I do like the art style.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
I like that thick line thing. I think that looks pretty good. But
are there any shows you do not like? Like, you were just like, fuck this, I hate this.
Well, the little sister thing. I can't remember any of the shows, so I'm.
There a lot of them are not very memorable. Like I honestly watched the first episode of Muv Luv twice, and I don't fucking remember it at all.
Oh, I watched like 15 minutes of that, and then said, I'm not going to write about this because. I got to that late, and I got to it after other people had already written about it. And my attitude towards it was basically like, okay, all the comments I'm seeing are, well, you don't know anything about this because you haven't played the visual novels and you haven't read the books and you haven't read the... So if you think the show's bad, it's because you don't know. And it's like, okay, so you won't accept that it's a shit show from anyone who doesn't have the same level of knowledge that you do. So there is literally no reason for me to write about this because the people who are interested in that show are already hardcore fans of whatever the fuck that is.
Right.
And I don't know what it is. So the show doesn't function on any level for me, apparently. And I can't judge it based on just, oh, here's a TV show that I'll watch.
Right.
So fuck it. So I'm just not going to say anything about it at all. I watched about 15 minutes of it, and frankly, I was bored out of my mind. I had no idea really what was going on. It was this bullshit fan service-y thing where it's like, let's, like, lock on our super skin-tight latex spacesuits, and here's a close-up of my tits. Wow. The latex.
How the clothing in anime manages to caress each individual breast like a tube sock.
Yeah.
It is a clothes don't work that way. I mean, look, I live in Orange County. I know what tight women's clothing looks like. Ooh. And even the tightest of women's clothing, it is not like a individual latex compartment.
Yeah, no, it's
mind blowing.
Whatever. It's based on a really long franchise, and like this specifically is based on like a spin-off manga. So there's no way. Like, it's just whatever. I'm not gonna say anything about it. It's a total waste of my time. But looking at the rest of this stuff, like, yeah, no, nothing else really stood out. I mean, there was that fucking chocolate club show.
Oh yeah.
Which fuck that. Kokoro Connect.
Right.
No thanks. Body swap comedy. here's five completely uninteresting characters that are going to swap bodies.
Right.
Well, that's not interesting at all. So, like,
The only reason I'm holding out hope for it is that, I get the sense that based on the tone of the series, like, I don't think it's going to stay a comedy.
Yeah, probably not. Everything, like, it opened with a completely, that weird, like, car killing thing. And, yeah, like, there's hints that more will happen, but I don't have the patience to sit through that shit.
Right.
I'm not going to wait for it to stop pretending to be K-On. But, yeah, you know, Arcana Famiglia is just...
Yeah. Oh man, you know that is a terrible show, but yeah. I watch it because it looks pretty.
The animation is terrible, though.
I'm not talking about the animation. It's basically just, like, hot dudes in suits.
Yeah, I guess.
But, like, the dialogue, the writing is terrible.
Oh, it's really bad. It's really bad, and it does the thing where it's like, as you know, I am your brother. Like, it does that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is just,
like, don't these people already know each other? Like, yeah. Why are you explaining this shit?
Yeah, it's just totally ridiculous. It's some of the worst writing I've seen in a long time. But
yeah.
Whatever, man. Summer season. It's never that great. honestly, it really is never that great. Like, the summertime seems like it's kind of a dumpster.
Yeah.
For anime, it's like, all right, here's some new stuff. Hang on until the fall. In the fall is when we'll actually get the big productions and stuff like that. Anyway, we got a lot of Twitter questions to get through, so let's go ahead and do this. Okay, Ted of Warner asks, question for Ancast, what do you have against 90s alternative rock? Well, I don't have anything against alternative rock from the 90s.
I don't have anything against alternative rock.
It didn't seem like it stayed alt-rock for very long, like it became mainstream very fast.
Nah. Whatever. Yeah, whatever.
Pearl Jam was considered alt-rock at one point. I don't think you'd consider them that, you know, even a few years after they came out. All right, Wayne One asks, what was the most odd thing you both encountered at Comic-Con?
Oh, it was that awesome booth babe with the three tits.
Oh, yeah, so you saw... I didn't see this, but you saw it. It was at the Total Recall booth.
Yeah. Oh, it was awesome. It was just... It was... They basically just had this, like, hot chick with three boobs. Obviously not really three boobs, but, you know, it's three boobs. It's pretty cool.
Three fake boobs, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, man. I only want to... I mean, I don't know that I'm going to see that movie. It looks very generic, and I'm such a huge fan of the original Total Recall that...
Right.
I don't want to see a safer, more generic, non-Paul Verhoeven take on that material.
Right.
So, why would I want to watch a not interesting version of that movie? I don't know why I don't want to do that. But you did see the, you know, girl with three breasts, so.
Yeah.
Oddest thing I saw at Comic-Con... Doc Hammer from the Venture Brothers gave me a dirty look when I waved to him outside of the Marriott at 2 o'clock in the morning when you and I were trying to catch a cab. I waved to him. He walked past with some girl, and I waved, and I was like, hey, and he just shot me this look like, fuck you.
Aw, bummer.
I did also share an elevator with Yvette Nicole Brown from,
hey, cool.
From Community.
So very nice.
That was Shirley from Community. That was.
I did not really have any spontaneous celebrity sightings.
It's hard to...
I did see Gene Simmons on the floor shielding his comic book, but that was about it.
If you hang out in the Marriott enough, you will see, like, half of the celebrities that show up to Comic-Con. The big ones stay in the Hard Rock... A lot of the TV people stay in the Marriott, which is attached to the convention center. So I feel like you could just kind of sit in the elevator, just ride the elevator, and share the elevator with lots of TV actors and stuff if you hang out in the Marriott long enough. But anyway, Rhetorical Noise asks, I've been saving this one for you guys. I think it might generate some interesting debate. Just accept the premise that the new Sailor Moon series is brought to America, dubbed, and put on TV for children. Do you think as a country we've evolved enough in the last 15 years to allow the same-sex relationships to be left in?
No.
No.
No, not at all.
Ask us that question.
Not even close.
Ask that question in 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll be there.
Not even close. Oh, my God. People would pitch a fit even before it came on air.
Yeah, they'd flip out. Okay. Chibi UFO asks, have either of you guys ever witnessed or had a happy, touching, or nice moment at a convention? Sure, I've had plenty of them.
Yeah.
Frankly, every time we do a panel, I have lots of those. I can't stress enough like how nice people are to us at our panels. They're really nice. It makes my day. Like, anytime I've interacted with any of the people that listen to this show or read the site in person, they're so nice.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I have seen, you know, a lot of... I guess just, you know, people are generally pretty nice. Like, yeah, I've also seen some terrible, horrible things, but people, I think people don't really get give overall humanity slash nerd culture the credit it deserves at times.
In person.
Yeah, yes.
Not online, not on the internet.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
But in person, people are much nicer than they are online. It's because they can't just, like, spill their it all over the place. It's got to be, oh, I have to act like a human being in front of this person. So, yeah, I have great experiences. I've been very touched. I get people coming up, they want a hug. I had someone come up and shake my hand and say, like, you know, rest in peace, Butt Jr. Like, I've had that happen. And it touches me. And, you know, people tell me they love my work. And there was a guy at our most recent live show who came and said he drove 6 hours to be at that live show. And he listened to our show the whole way down. I mean, I can't tell you, like, how much that means to me.
Right.
Like, that's such a touching and rewarding thing. And it makes me so happy. And it makes me so thankful for everyone who listens and everyone who shows up. And, I've had great moments at conventions. Like, mostly at Anime Expo, not so much at Comic-Con, but, like, mostly at Anime Expo.
I agree. I mean, the fact that, like, I mean, this most recent Anime Expo, you know, we were bored at 2 a.m, and we were like, hey, like, who wants to hang out? We'll be in the karaoke room, and, like, a couple people showed up. Like, that was awesome.
We had, like, 5 or 6 people show up. And if this was at 2:30 in the morning,
yeah,
that's nice. It's nice. We love people who actually respond to us and enjoy our work, and and we actually get to see those people sometimes. And it's nice when you do, because they're generally pretty cool. Like, everyone I've met has been pretty cool. But anyway, moving on. Baseman PhD asks, what upcoming thing from Comic-Con are you most excited for? So, things that haven't come out yet, but we're hyped at the show. I'm going to go... I guess obviously Django Unchained, but all they showed was the con footage. So, the stuff that ran at the Con Film Festival. And I'm really curious about Pacific Rim. I want to know what that is. And Wreck-It Ralph.
I'm excited for some of the upcoming Marvel stuff. Like, they did mention that the next Captain America movie was going to be the Winter Soldier. I mean, I don't know what part of that they're going to take, like, because I didn't go to the panel, so all I know is that the next Captain America movie will feature the Winter Soldier. Like, I'm looking forward to it. Like, I really like those films, you know. I like the stuff that especially in just the past few years. Like, I think we've had a lot of awesome Marvel movies, so I'm looking forward to those.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to in a couple months. Fucking Tekken Tag Tournament 2. I am super psyched for that. I'm so excited.
Yeah, we were invited to this big party for Tekken Tag Tournament at Comic-Con that I did not go to, but you went to.
It was pretty awesome. Not the party so much as the fact that they were just like, hey, come sit down and play Tekken Tag 2. And I was like, fuck yes, I will. And pretty much just nonstop played it for like an hour and a half. And it was amazing.
That's cool. So it was fun.
There's a Snoop Dogg stage. Yeah, it's great. Like, there are few things in life more entertaining than destroying someone while Snoop Dogg is like on a stage surrounded by strippers. It's hilarious.
That's cool.
Your enthusiasm, it hurts. There's so much of it.
Whatever, man. Whatever. Alright, Trick the TM asks, with the recent trend of 90s revivals, what franchise do you think deserves a revival? I feel like we've talked about this a lot. Like, what should get rebooted, or what should get... have more... To be honest, like, all the obvious ones... You know, Bebop, Trigun. Like, I don't know why they're not reanimating Trigun. I mean, obviously because it's not, like, a huge moneymaker in Japan, but, like...
Yeah.
And just in terms of, like... And I'm not saying that because I personally want more Trigun. I'm saying because it seems like it's easy money. Like,
honestly, I don't want more Bebop either.
I don't want more Bebop either. Like,
it was fun. I love the show, but that's, you know, let it. I want to love that show without it.
Yeah. Straight up, it's not going to be good.
Right.
They're going to make more, and it's not going to be good. They made the show. It was 26 episodes in a movie. That's more than you can ask from pretty much every anime airing right now. Just don't make any more. Just don't. Just stop. Like, me personally, if they said that, I would be like, oh, good. Someone's going to make some money on this, and I am happy when anime companies make money, because I'm interested in that happening. Like, I feel like they should do things that are financially successful to them. I am interested and invested in the well-being of this business that I report on. But do I think it would be any good? No, probably not.
To their credit, at least the second Eva movie reboot was pretty awesome. Not awesome in the same way that the original series was awesome, but awesome in that it, like, is completely went in a different direction, and I'm very excited to know where it will go.
Well, no, I love those movies. Like, yeah. They're doing a great job with that, but they can't, like, not doing anything with Evangelion is just them just leaving money on the table in Japan.
Right.
Which
right.
They would never do.
You know what they should reboot is Junkers Come Here.
Yeah. I want a massive multi-million-dollar reboot of Slayers. Oh, wait, they did that, except they didn't spend that much money on it.
Lost Universe? Bring it on. No, 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 no.
All right, Shintaku asks, have you ever been tempted to buy a toy from an anime series after watching said anime?
Oh, my
God,
yes.
Yes, of course. I recently bought QB merchandise, so.
Oh, I love anime merchandise. I have been telling myself to not buy so much, but I love figures.
Yeah.
Oh, such a huge figures person.
Okay, Ed Sizemore, your friend of mine, asks, what is the media presence like at Comic-Con? Does G4 and other outlets get in the way of con-goers? Well, the media presence is gigantic, and everyone shows up there.
Yep.
So, no, I wouldn't say it gets in the way. I've never been hampered by media presence. So
yeah.
I guess not? No? I don't know. Redneck Otaku asks, there's a CNN Geek article explaining... I like that there's a CNN geek.
Yeah.
We are not our own thing anymore. We are mainstream. Explaining it, San Diego Comic-Con isn't welcoming of otaku. Does the San Diego Comic-Con community welcome the anime community? I would argue that it's so big and there's so many people that it... I wouldn't be able to tell if we were being welcomed or not. Like, they run a huge slate of anime programming. There's plenty of panels geared towards us. There's plenty of manga panels. So, in that sense, like, the organization itself certainly welcomes lots of anime and manga programming. Otherwise, we wouldn't even cover the show.
Right.
But there's so many people that... I don't even notice trends. Like, I don't notice who's being rejected, who's being welcomed. Like, it's too big. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I would.
Like, if you leaf through the programming guide, like half the stuff and the more than half of the programming guide, I've never even heard of this stuff before. You know what I'm saying? But I've never thought, like, oh, I wish they would have more anime. Like, it's always been like this. You know? There's always kind of been this, I guess, even level of anime and manga programming that I've never noticed it either becoming more or less welcoming, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's just the same.
It's generally the same. And frankly, like, I kind of like that about Comic-Con.
Yeah.
That is one of the things I like, where... kind of everyone's anonymous, and it's not like anonymous, but like everyone blends in, everyone fades in. Yep. So it's just this mass of people, and it's a big mass of nerds, and no one particularly stands out or whatever. It's just, there's too many fucking people there for anything to really stand out. Anyway, let's see here. Cowboy Dev asks, on a scale from 1 to 10, how bored do you think LeVar Burton was at Comic-Con? So, this is a reference to a photo I took of a very bored-looking LeVar Burton. I was walking past a table that he was sitting at, signing photographs, and he looked very bored. But I would give him about a 7, because maybe like a 5. Because in spite of the fact that he was clearly bored, like, LeVar Burton is a chill dude and is, like, super, like, nice. I've met him once. He's, like, the nicest guy. So I would imagine that even though he was bored, he was still being real nice to everybody. Chuodori asks, any of the new manga series announced at San Diego Comic-Con catch your eye? Nope.
I will have to admit that I'm not much of a manga reader.
Yeah.
So I am the wrong person to ask.
You have...
I'm more of a anime only. I don't have time to read manga.
You can only spend 30 hours a week watching anime and then have time left over for comics.
Right.
You gotta do something else with your life at some point. G. Tibbetts asks, do you two view Crunchyroll grabbing almost everything this season as a shrewd business practice or a sign of a bad thing? We don't know. There's no way to tell. There's no responsible way to answer that question with anything other than we don't know. There's no way to know what's going on. They are certainly getting a lot of stuff, but they've stated over and over and over again, our goal is to get everything. So if they're getting closer to that goal and they're not wasting millions of dollars and not firing people and not being really irresponsible, then fine. I feel like there's so much of a focus on, oh, these people are fucking up, they're making bad business decisions, yada yada. Like, we don't have anything to suggest that they're in trouble or that they're making, like, this is a foolish thing, like a last-ditch attempt. Like, nothing, other than the reassurance that they've told us that, yes, our goal is to get everything, and so we're going to try and do that. So, there you go. Chuodori asks, while most anime titles come out in the U.S. first, have either of you considered importing anime or non-anime titles from the U.K.? No.
No.
Also asks, with Viz announcing the full box set of Nausicaä of the Valley of the Wind manga, will either of you be buying it? I probably will, actually, buy that.
No.
Chuodori asks again, would either of you consider traveling to a non-American anime convention? And if so, which? I have been given the opportunity to go to Japan Expo in Paris. And the reason that I would want to go to that is because it's in Paris and I want to visit Paris. I'm also curious about the show itself. But we have a freelancer who speaks fluent French. So it made a lot more sense, and I made this argument myself, it makes a lot more financial sense to send the person who speaks fluent French than it is to send me, because then you have to hire a translator. So I took a bullet on that one, but I would really like to go to Japan Expo, just because that's as big as Comic-Con, and it's just for anime and manga. And it's in Paris. So I'm curious about that.
I would like to go to Tokyo Anime Fair, because I've never been.
Oh yeah, you've never been to that.
Yeah, I actually, the only Japanese convention I've ever been to is Tokyo Game Show once, and that was fun, but I would either, like, go to TAF, or I would like to stick my head inside, like, Kamiket, you know?
Just to see what it's like.
Yeah, yeah.
Atari Tombo asks, how can I get my friends who only want to watch anime TV series to check out live-action movies and shows of Japan and South Korea, etc.? Couldn't tell you, I don't watch any of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Tell them it's good, and then maybe they'll watch it. And if they don't, meh, you know, whatever.
It's great advice, Bamboo.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird question, I guess.
I watch live-action movies from Japan when Justin tells me that they're really good and I should watch them. That's typically what happens. Divine and Nega asks... Divine Nega? Yeah, I got that right. What's your opinion on Neon Alley? And do you think it has a chance to at least be a minor success? If I'm being honest, I think that's a bad idea. It just doesn't sound right. It's a linear cable channel that you pay a subscription fee to watch on your PS3. There's no VOD. You can't record it. You have to tune in at 10 o'clock when Tiger and Bunny is on, when Berserk is on, when whatever is on.
But also, all of these shows are also streaming on their website. So if you want to watch Tiger and Bunny, just go to vizanime.com.
I don't know what the thinking is.
I don't really understand that.
Yeah, I don't know what the thinking is. I hold out hope that it's going to work for them. Of course, I hope it works for them. But I don't get the thinking behind a linear channel.
Because I would understand if they were just going to have, you know, like a Hulu Plus app-esque, you know, like, oh, here's a Viz Anime app that you can play things in HD. But why don't... And you know what? Actually, if you do have Hulu Plus, you can stream their shows on your PS3 already. Because all of the shows are on Hulu, so why not just do that?
I don't know. It's an interesting experiment. I'm very curious to see how it goes. But if I'm being perfectly honest, I don't know how that's going to work. And I really don't understand, like, why they thought that was the way to go. But, you know, hey, I'm more than happy to be proven wrong. I want to be proven wrong on that one. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lacuna Craft asks, do you think Comic-Con can get any more crowded? No. It sells out in 2 hours. It is literally as crowded as it possibly could be every single year.
I tell you what could get more crowded, though, is the area outside the convention center. Because now a lot of people go to Comic-Con to just hang out. They can't get in because they either can't afford a pass or they couldn't get one, and they now just hang out because there's a fuck ton of stuff to do outside the convention center now.
Yeah.
I was commenting how I never saw any Homestuck cosplayers, and the people were telling me, oh yeah, they're all outside. Like, they're all just hanging out outside.
I saw plenty of them, actually. Inside the show, yeah.
Oh.
Not compared to, like, Anime Expo.
Sure.
But I saw them. Like, I saw groups of them. Not a ton of them. But, yeah. No, yeah, you're right. It probably could get even more crowded. If they decide to just fill up the gas lamp district, the entirety of San Diego downtown with nerds.
You know, when I was walking past the old Spaghetti Factory, there was like a line of like over 100 people, more than that, trying to get into the fucking old Spaghetti Factory. The food is not even good. Why are you waiting in line to get shitty spaghetti? That is crazy.
Yeah. The old Spaghetti Factory is not a good place to eat. Do not eat there. Alright. Ken Adventures asks, when do you think we'll see the next Batman film? If ever. Or are audiences too tired of it for a third origin film? Warner has already announced that they're rebooting it. They've already said they're making another Batman movie in the next 3 years. And it will be a complete reboot with a different director, different actors, different everything. So get ready to watch Bruce Wayne's parents die again. I imagine that we will be as tired of the Batman origin story when that comes out as we were of Spider-Man's origin story just about a month ago. Okay. Okay, so V guy sent in a bunch of stuff. Let me see if I can parse one of these down here. IO9.com posted a review of the winners and losers at Comic-Con and had scathing comments about Funimation's Mass Effect anime co-production. They said the overall response was pretty damning. And they reposted several reported comments that the trailer was badly animated, unpolished, boring, and badly narrated. Given that the extended cut DLC ending was fairly well received last week, do you foresee major backlash against the Mass Effect anime? Or from what you saw in isolation from how the video games are doing, is the Mass Effect anime just not looking that great? How badly would this hurt Funimation? I gotta say, I was the only person from ANN in the room at the Mass Effect thing. I didn't think it looked that bad. I mean, people were really grousing about it, but, like, if you know what Production IG is generally producing now, like, it looked exactly how I thought it was gonna look. And maybe that's just my expectations are pretty low, but I don't think it looked bad. I thought it looked fine. Like, if you said, like, okay, Production IG is gonna make something based on Mass Effect, that is exactly what I would have imagined it to look like. You know, a lot of non-shaded colors, a lot of flat spaces, and generally competent character animation and all that stuff. I thought it looked okay. I would say that I know Funimation is spending a lot of money on Mass Effect. Just like they spent a lot of money on Dragon Age. And they do need it to succeed, I would imagine. Or at least, it's my understanding that this you know, they don't want it to fail. Like, just as though they wouldn't want anything to fail. But this one seems like they've spent a lot of money on it. And so, obviously, this thing being a huge failure would be bad, but I also think people are just generally super shitty about this kind of thing. They're super critical. They just want to take a giant dump on everything all the time. This is one of those things where I felt like people were being a little unfair and a little shitty towards it. I don't know. I looked at that trailer and I was like, yeah, okay. At least it's 2D. At least it's not this horribly awkward attempt at, like, cut-rate CG animation like Dragon Age was. I don't know. I'm of a mixed feeling on it. I hope it does well for them. I hope it's good. I guess that's really what it boils down to. I hope it's good. I just want it to be good. That's all I care.
I've also noticed in general, though, whenever anything Western is adapted into anime, people just shit on it a whole bunch. Just instantly.
Yeah.
Even if it's interesting or good, like some of the like Marvel anime, some of it was entertaining, but people just shat on it mercilessly just because it was an adaptation of something Western.
Yeah. I don't know what that is. I guess it's just, it literally is just like, there's no pleasing anyone. Like, you can't please anyone.
Right.
So, whatever. I don't know. Like, I don't know. We'll see how that goes. I hope it sells better for them than Dragon Age did. I wish that their timing was better. Like, that Mass Effect anime should have been out a month before the game. Like, no question about that. Alright, finally, from Starpunk 83, what do you think of the new upcoming Ninja Turtles cartoon? I have no opinion. Because I don't give a fuck about Ninja Turtles.
I have not seen nor read anything about it, so I
did
not know.
There was a huge display at Comic-Con.
I did not fucking see it, because I was so inundated with bright colors and boobies that I did not see it.
Yeah. Okay, well, that about wraps up this edition of Comic-Con Podcast 2012. We are fucking exhausted.
yeah.
The show will be back next week, as usual. We've lined up a whole bunch of interview guests for August, so we're good on that front. But that about does it. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, absolutely. Had a good time.